Hey, AfterBuzzers and Oncers. Oh my gosh, episode 20, two episodes left, and the curse is finally broken. And with that great news, we've got other great news. Amazing guest Jeff Pierre is in the studio, a.k.a. Prince Naveen, so you don't want to click that mouse.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is only fitting because we've got Prince Naveen, Jeff Pierre in the house. How are you tonight?
Yeah, the prince himself. Yes.
The prince has arrived.
Prince Naveen, everybody on this panel is one in love with your character and you on the show. So we are so thrilled to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, the pleasure is all mine. I'm so happy to be here with you ladies right now. I'm excited for what we're about to talk about.
Right.
Get into it.
Because we got a lot to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
Before we do so, I'm your host, Ali Nasta. And then to my left, I've got some lovely ladies. Steph Sabraw, what's going on?
What's up, Steph Sabraw? I'm so excited about this episode, you guys.
Yeah, you had some predictions that came true.
A lot. I honestly think I'm number one right now for predictions.
I think you are.
I'm going to come to you. You said you got the witch in you.
I'm at like fourth place. I'm losing.
Lanisha,
you already know I'm wearing my green.
You dressed up in the bra.
That's odd. Okay. I didn't even peep that. Okay. I like that.
Okay. I gotta represent.
Yeah.
Yes. Carolina Bonetti.
I didn't get the memo. I'm sorry.
What's going on?
Hey guys, Carolina here. I can't wait to talk about this episode. It was classic Once Upon a Time 101. Mm, I was all choked up over it. That Henry reveal. Ugh, I can't wait to get into it.
Oh my gosh. So overall thoughts, you can seriously tell we loved this episode.
Loved
and it made
it.
Me really nostalgic for it to be ending in two episodes. I'm not ready.
No.
At all.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, let's just jump right in. So let's start off with, obviously, Prince Naveen is saved in this episode, which is kind of a paradox to what happened in the actual Storybrooke realm, because obviously Prince Naveen was kind of screwed over by Princess Tiana.
True. For me, I was really excited the direction that they went with this, as far as, like, you know, me being saved, you know, because I feel like the days of the damsel in distress, that's over. I mean, it's 2018. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have like, mm-hmm. you have these iconic women, like Wonder Woman is actually being portrayed on screen right now. Finally, a strong female superhero. And then you have like Captain Marvel coming out. I'm sorry, guys. I geek over like the Marvel comics.
Oh, me too.
Don't we all? Marvel is amazing.
And I'm really excited. That's what I'm,
yes. you know,
to be honest. Yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm really excited for stuff like that. So for me, I really loved it. And in my mind, as like, you know, Prince Naveen / Drew, I was always focused on empowering Tiana, you know, empowering Sabine. So it was cool to me. It was very, very cool to take the back seat and just watch these ladies rock, you know.
It's so funny because, like, you know, Kip, he was on our show too. His character was also saved by a woman. So I think that's so funny how, like, they're starting to play this with all the women rising up.
I love it.
Yes.
I mean, it needs to happen, you know.
People are going to love you more than they already did for that response.
Oh,
yeah. So let me just say that clear.
But you know what I think marks a truly powerful man is the fact that you embrace powerful women, mm-hmm. because that shows how powerful you are as a man and as a character as well.
It really does. Behind every powerful man is an even stronger woman.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm not even just like trying
start
to.
Snapping.
I'm not.
Just throwing up.
This isn't even for sure,
blow
but
up.
I mean, I truly believe that. I mean, like Barack. I mean, come on, with Michelle.
Oh,
you
wow,
got Jay-Z,
sure.
Beyonce. Like, it's,
okay, you
it's,
need to stop.
The proof is in the pudding to me. So
you are like, making the live like explode.
Yes. But I love that answer. It's so true. And Once has done a really good job this season, really having the women come to the coming to the savior of these men.
Yeah.
Especially because we kind of get to see both sides of each story in Storybrooke and in the real world.
Right.
But, you know, speaking of real world, what is it like on being on set in the Once Upon a Time fantasy land that is the green screen?
Oh, man, it is. I mean, to sum it up in one word, I would honestly say it's magical.
Right.
There is a magical feel about it. It is so completely different from any other set that I've been on. And I'm super appreciative of all the jobs that I've had and every set that I get to, you know, get to experience. But for some reason, I'm like, is it because I know this is like, you know, fairy tale, Disney? But I really just felt like a magical aura. And the best parts for me were when I actually got to be in, you know, costume as Prince Naveen and in that green screen. It was just It was surreal. I felt almost like the Disney character. Like, totally. For real, just coming to life. And I had like a... I just took on a certain persona. Like, it was weird. I would, you know, in between takes, you know, talk to family members or friends and, you know, talking to my fiance. And I would actually stay in character. Not even purposely doing it. I would say certain words that I never would. And she's like, wait, hold on. What are you saying right now? What did you just say to me?
Give us a sample. Like, what are some stuff?
What did I say to her? There was this one conversation we were having, and then I said something. I really can't remember, but it's because it was like in my subconscious, to be honest. Yeah. And that's why I was like, wait, did I actually say that? I'm so sorry, baby. That was Chris Naveen, not me. I'm so sorry. I can't give it to you because it's honestly in my subconscious.
I could just imagine like your voice getting deeper, like I'm here. I'm home.
And again, like I said, when I got the job, I was just super excited because it was even in the audition room, I had this like, oh yeah, I get to play. I get to be, you know, I almost adapted like this accent, almost like I don't know. My fiance says you almost had like a British accent. Were you trying to imitate a British accent, or just a slight? And I'm like, no, it just, I don't know. I'm in fairy tale land. I can't speak the way Jeff Pierre speaks or Jeff McCardle speaks. I can't do that.
Yeah, that was one of our questions for you. Actually, was how was the audition for you? How did this come about and come to fruition? How much time did you have between going in and finding out that it was yours? Well, apparently, it was yours in the room because you became a whole other person.
Apparently, but to be honest, when I was first proposed with like the audition, I was like, I'm always positive of everything I go out on. I'm like, okay, you know, yeah, I got this. Like, you know, after I do my research and I get into the character. But I just didn't believe that they were going to go this route just because it's like, you know, Prince Naveen, he's from Maldonia. It's not an African-American male. But I'm just like, wow, really? They're considering me? I'm like, all right, cool. Let me just go in there for fun. And I went into the room. And the casting director was amazing, Veronica Rooney. She was so fun. We played around with it, and she was kind of in awe. I'm like, oh, you sure you don't have any notes for me or anything? She's like, no, that was so fun. You did this, you did that. I'm like, all right. And then I left. I'm like, man, that was really, really fun. And I think it might have happened maybe like 2-3 days later. I got the call. They're like, you booked it. And yeah. I was like, wait, are you kidding me? Like, I'm playing Prince Naveen? I was on my way to another audition as well, too, a commercial audition. And I think I started just flipping out in the car. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm playing a Disney character. I was like, I can't wait to go see my baby girl. Because part of the process, I already saw Princess and the Frog, you know, years ago, but I like to do my research and just brush up on a few things. And I just wanted to actually watch it with my daughter. Yes. She never got to see it. She's a year and a half old. And she actually sat through and watched the whole thing with me. So it was a very fun process to sit there and watch it with her. And when I watched it with her, I'm like, man, it would be amazing to get this role. So she was the first person I wanted to see once I booked it.
Oh my gosh, I'm about to cry.
I told you. You make all the women.
Yeah, because I didn't even think about how Prince Naveen was not supposed to be black because you're literally perfect for this role. Like, as soon as you walked in, we're like, Prince, that's Prince Naveen.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's so important because we don't have a black prince in Disney.
No,
we
don't. So don't.
I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the time, right?
Okay. Yeah, I love that so much. It's so true because we talked about it because obviously you don't get introduced to the characters right away.
Right.
And so we all were like guessing what it was and everybody's like, it's Prince Naveen!
That was unanimous across the panel. You walked on set and we were like, that's Prince Naveen.
Oh, that's awesome.
For us. Yeah. Which is, it's been such a great season two, and to see that. And obviously, we talked to your counterpart who plays Sabine, and Makia Cox, and she mentioned how it was kind of a dream come true for her. her to become a Disney princess as well.
Yes.
And, and that's what kind of Princess and the Frog allows allowed for that.
Yeah, because she was a Disney princess and there wasn't a black... couldn't be a Disney princess because there was no black Disney princesses.
Until Princess and the Frog.
We need more Disney. We need more.
We need a lot more.
100% more.
Disney's like, I'm working as best as I can.
Hey, they did give us Shuri, and that she's an awesome princess.
That is true.
Yeah? Which she was saying on the panel the other day how that took a while to sink in for her. She was like, oh my God, yeah, I am a Disney princess. Mm-hmm. Because they're reintroducing the narrative. Like, Cinderella is also black and is a princess because these stereotypes that we've had are changing. And that's such a blessing that you got to do it.
Oh, man, I'm so happy to be a part of it. It's incredible. I mean, I can always go back and my daughter's going to see that when she gets older and it's going to sink in. That's all I think
Literally. But just think, out there somewhere, there's a little boy that watches Once Upon a Time and you're his role model.
That's, oh my
That's
God.
That's true.
Because a lot of children and teenagers love this show. Wow. And there is a kid out there that's like, I can be a prince too because he looks somewhat like you and he's never seen it before.
And he gets all the ladies. That is exactly what he's going to say.
He's coming out learning how to make beignets today.
That's a winner.
That is such a winner. But you know what's really fun and helps you learn and grow in all areas of your life? Just like Prince Naveen helps us learn and grow, especially with this storyline. We've got the perfect podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and so much more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. And guys, it's free. Just be sure to rate and comment and let Maria know that it was the Oncers that brought you there.
Hey.
Again, that's Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. And our lovely Steph Sabra was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
So you could find her.
Shine away her.
I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah, but you should catch
hair.
That.
Yeah,
hair, definitely go check it out.
Oh, look at that. Little hair flop. Okay. Look at that.
I'm getting caught in my car. The cord's going to come off now. I'm going to get the karma for being a jerk.
No, we love you. But these are two very opposite reactions. We had to like bully Allie into telling everybody she was on it. She got to interview Jennifer Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't seen that, you should really catch up on the podcast. Catch up with Allie and Maria and Jennifer, and then catch up with Steph, who does her awesome hair flip.
Basically, the Oncers rule.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm definitely going to want to check that out myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We do have a correction in the chat that the Jacinda is Dominican Republic. She's from the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
I didn't want to say it. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be the one to put it out there like that.
It's still representation, so we love it.
I want to have a moment to say that I'm also Dominican, and it doesn't mean that she's not, it doesn't somehow make her not black.
But
you can
think
be black
she's
and
cultural.
Dominican.
Yeah. Well,
it is a Latina Cinderella.
Yeah. I won't speak.
I think that's what she's gonna go by.
Latina, yes, of course. But I don't think that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a gray area. But I feel like you don't try and negate one half of it with the other.
Yeah. Well.
Either way, we are proud. We could get into that into like a whole episode. Oh, another episode.
And then we'll talk about different This episode. Is America.
But, yeah, exactly.
Guys, we have to talk about the big, crazy curse that has been broken and how excited we all are that we finally know the reasoning and how there was a time lapse. I was confused. We were talking about this before we started the podcast. I was a little confused as to how this worked out. And there was an article that Steph was, that someone shared with you on Twitter, Steph. So if you kind of want to explain, just to clear it up for you guys that might be a little confused as to how Henry, older Henry, and younger Henry were at the same place at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just going to quote it because I had to reread this because it's still confusing to
and
me.
Where can they find this article?
This was on Variety.
Okay.
Okay, so Henry left Storybrooke in season 7 premiere, went off to live his life in another realm where he met and fell in love with Cinderella, with whom he had a child. The curse was then cast on Lucy's 8th birthday, sending these fairy tale characters to the real life town of Hyperion Heights in their past, but Storybrooke's present. The reveal actually speaks to the very clever way Once has gotten away with none of the original heroes. So, because they can't show up to rescue the crew in Hyperion Heights, everybody in Storybrooke would have no idea that anyone was gone or in trouble, so no one would come after them. What's been going on through the whole season, the reason that Emma's never shown up or nobody's ever come to look for them, is as far as they're concerned, everyone's back in Storybrooke still.
Okay. That makes sense. So basically, every loophole that they could think of, Emma already.
Yeah.
Oh, why am I calling her Emma? By her real name.
Yeah, Mother Gothel.
She had already thought about it, but then again, she has been planning this for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Years. But then she got planted.
Literally.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a huge revelation, obviously, because we had been wondering what were all the different aspects of this, because we've been trying to, like, wrap our brains around how there's different sets to this, and the true love's kiss didn't break it, but Steph made a prediction that going to be Henry.
Do your victory dance.
What was this prediction?
That it was going to be Regina and Henry breaking the curse. The kiss wasn't going to happen, the romantic
kiss. But technically, Henry broke the curse himself when he called himself, because his mom gave him the paperwork, yes, but it was speaking to his old self that actually broke it.
It wasn't officially broke
until he kissed his mom, and then it went.
Yeah, see,
I am going to agree with you. That
he
is
was awake. Yeah. He was awake.
He woke up because he spoke to himself.
Oh. Man, I thought it was for sure going to be Alice and Hook for some reason. I don't know.
It would have been sweet. I love how you guys
come up with your own predictions and stuff like that. Because I mean, from the actor's point of view, We're kind of almost left in the dark as well, too. You know, when we get these scripts, we're just always kind of like, what's going to happen? We don't know anything in advance. And essentially, we may not, even after we film it, we may not necessarily know how it's going to come out until we watch it, you know, live.
Do you guys make any other predictions, like yourself?
I mean, while we're working?
Yeah. Or nah.
I never call it predictions because it's... Because I'm like in that world, and and while I'm doing my process and actually, you know, doing my character research, I may have ideas. Yeah, I come up with different ideas or possibilities, what may happen. I think that's how I see it. You can almost call it a prediction, but I kind of come up with my own ideas of what may happen. But I do connect all the facts of what I currently have as far as like the scripts that I get.
Yeah.
And I try to piece everything together and make logical decisions of what may happen or what may not happen, you know?
Right. And we've been told, Emma Booth said, she was saying that you don't even, like you were just saying, you don't get any scripts from like more than what you're shooting that day.
Correct.
And so did that cause any struggles with you trying to figure out what your purpose was as the character?
You know what? At first, a little bit, because I was just like, wait a minute, because, you know, going into this, I'm like, hey, I'm Prince Naveen, I'm a good guy, essentially.
Right.
But when I saw that I was taking a turn, and I'm like, kind of working with, Dr. Facilier, I'm like, wait, what's going on here? Am I a bad guy or not? So, you know, I would collaborate with some of the writers. I would talk to the writer and just ask questions, and they would give me as much as they could, which would help. Essentially, it would help. And then at that point, I get to use my own imagination and create certain things. But again, it always came from a real place. They would give me something that I could use, and I'm like, all right, this makes sense. So when I would get the future scripts, like, all right, it wasn't too far off from what I thought, or, you know, the idea that I had was plausible, you know.
Totally.
So it's all a process. It's like, you know, putting pieces together, which I think is a lot more fun coming as an actor. Because, I mean, if you have everything already mapped out, it's like you don't really have much work to do. I mean, there's always work to do, but it's fun when you actually get to, like, put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Right.
That's what we're doing in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Totally.
I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know how my day is going to go. I don't know how... I didn't know how this interview was going to go. I knew it was going to go great. And I think it's going great so far. But
you're doing amazing.
You have an idea, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's such a great point. I think it's fun as an audience, because you're watching this all come together, and it's kind of good to know that you guys are kind of on the same bandwagon as us. We don't really know. You don't know.
I was like that with the voodoo. Remember when I told you guys about him bringing out that voodoo doll with Drew? I said, that better not be him.
Yeah.
I said, you better not be trying to kill him off the show. I will be mad.
Trust me, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, wait, what are they doing to me? Is this for me?
I got voodooed on
the props rolls out the cart, and you're like, no.
Too funny. Well, speaking of voodoo dolls and Dr. Facilier, let's get into him for a second because he's transpiring with Gold and he doesn't want Gold to find Belle. Can we talk about this a little bit and dive into like what this actually means?
This is the one thing I have been right about. I called him a creep from the beginning and I'm still sticking by it, and his actions keep furthering my one prediction that he is a creep.
It made me so sad because remember I was a little bit rooting
with
for him.
Lucy, yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of like, at first I was just like, oh, he's kind of a creep, and then I was just like, oh, Regina's finally gonna have somebody, and now he did. Like,
girl, no, I don't trust that creepy man with that little girl. She's been through enough. Oh,
and Robin's coming
Jeff,
back.
I'm done. Oh, yeah. But Jeff, I'm dying to know what you were going to say.
I mean, you guys are breaking my heart because, I mean, I love the guy. Like, me and the actor actually became really good friends. Mm-hmm. Daniel Francis playing Dr. Facilier. He was amazing. That guy, yes. I love him. And, you know, we would get the scripts together, and like I was just telling you, we're in the same position. He's like, hey, so what do you think is going to happen, bro? He's like, what's going on? Are we together in this thing or not? And it was tough for me seeing this last episode because I'm like, reading it, actually. I'm sorry. Before watching, I already knew what was going to happen. When I read the script, I'm like, oh, they had to do it to my mans. Because I was rooting for him as well, too, you know? I was hoping that there would be a point where he would redeem himself. Yeah. You know? That's what I was hoping for the character, and which, you know, that would have been interesting as well, too. But
I thought they were going to have, like, a romantic thing with Regina where she gets to him or something.
Exactly.
I was just like, dang, she's all alone again.
Plus, that would have been another situation where the woman would actually technically save the man.
Right, exactly.
She would change his ways, or it would have been cool.
And let's not forget, Rumpelstiltskin was a little creepy himself before Belle changed him.
A little. Yeah. He's so creepy.
Yeah, but I'm saying with Belle, he had his sweet moments. So I'm just saying, creepy and romance still works.
You cannot compare. Dr. Facilier is not on the same creepy league as Rumpel.
I hope not.
He's not. But I'm saying it's possible to have romance.
I was all for him having romance. Yeah, I still think maybe he could.
Belle was always a good guy, and Regina's plenty evil. Yeah. She doesn't need anybody who's egging her in the wrong direction, because she can't save him, that's for sure.
I think what was really interesting about showing that, you know, the kiss that was going to break this curse was Henry and Regina, I think it's kind of playing off of that whole strong woman characteristic and saying that she doesn't need a man to be happy, you know, like she just needs her family. Which is going to complete her. And I feel like that's kind of the progression that we've seen, is because in the beginning of the series, you know, Regina's constantly searching for a man, something to fill that void. And then in the end of the series so far, it's looking like she doesn't need anybody to fill that void, because it was a family that she needed, that support system that she needed, that she was really missing out on. So I think that was really cool that they kind of tied it back in that way. But yeah, Rumpel, definitely creepy, but he saved the day in this situation.
Okay, so is Samdi dead?
Yeah, he completely dead.
Yeah, that's why when you were like, no, he still could possibly. And
I'm
like,
my gosh.
No, I don't think so.
Something went over my head.
Stop us with a dagger.
No,
if we're wiling out, just be like, you're wrong. Just get in there.
I would never do that.
Okay, Steph, let's break this down for a second. I was on the same page as you. I had to, like, really think back.
Yeah.
Because he gets stabbed so quickly that you kind of wonder, okay, what was Dr. Facilier's motive and what was his whole reasoning behind wanting the dagger?
Yes.
If he's just going to die in the end and he kind of has no substantial means to the story anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the only thing I can kind of say in their defense as writers is that I think that they got told, you know, we got to wrap this up quick. Your series.
I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, that's how me and the actor kind of saw it when we were reading it.
Yeah.
Because it wrapped up for him kind of quickly and all of a sudden, and we were just like, oh, okay, yeah, we're getting towards the end of the season, you know.
Right.
They got to focus, and plus they got to focus on like doing the big series finale, and there's a lot of other stories and characters that they got to start, like, mm-hmm. bringing back.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Know. There was a lot of last-minute writing in there. Yeah. So I do agree with you with that. That's probably what they did.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I was reading some articles and stuff, and they were talking about how it was really hard. Like, they got told, I think maybe it was, like, they were started writing to where things could maybe go further, mm-hmm. but then they had to obviously, like, chop things up. So I think they probably wanted to have more of a storyline with Dr. Facilier, but they didn't get to it, so... But mm-hmm. so that's what I'm gonna say, because it was something where we're like, wait, it was this big lead up and build up for him to just die, and that's Steph, I was on the same page, like, wait, maybe this isn't really happening.
You never
know. He could still live.
You never know.
He'll like show up in like the series finale.
You never know.
Well, I was just really tripped up that gold, like his ult, the Welsh realm gold came back, and that's just like the worst thing that could happen.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. How did he get there?
And the best.
Wish realm gold. How did he get to present day?
I think it's because of the dagger. I think maybe Samdi tried to control him and it backfired on him because Rumpelstiltskin is a force unto himself.
Yeah, he is the dark one. The dark one.
But what I thought was interesting was we got to see with Alice, now that she's the guardian, we got to see that he actually stopped her from sacrificing her life so that he could continue on and he would figure it out a different way. So it's possible that he started to split, kind of like Regina did in the season where there were two Reginas. There was the evil queen, and then there was Mayor Mills. And we're kind of seeing a parallel of that with Gold, because he has split so completely from who he used to be versus who he is now. And it's that part of him that he has to learn to live with.
Yeah.
Because of his choices. That's what I felt.
Me and Steph are looking at each other.
You want to learn to live with him? Because
Gold has to learn how to live with him.
I would
not
love
me.
To see you all in the writer's room. Like, this would be fantastic. Like,
this is how it's going to go, people. We're taking over.
Listen, I would set the
Let me make a call real quick.
too much fun. Yeah, well, I don't really know what was going on with that. But I don't know how he got there, and I'm sure we'll find out. But also, I don't really know if I agree too much with that, Carolina.
It's all right. Everything I've said has been wrong, so it's fine.
No, it's not that you're wrong. And it's not
it has been.
I trust your opinions.
I trust it totally.
And everything, I'm just...
knows. Everybody knows. I'm just wrong this whole season. So
I just think it's interesting, like, everyone had their opportunity now to, like, face themselves. Because Regina, don't forget, she got to face the evil queen.
Yeah.
I'm sure
Emma had to face herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the dark one.
Snow White too.
That wasn't another version. This isn't this is literally like the evil queen Regina, where it's a physically a different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still the idea has been there within the show throughout the seasons. All the main characters have had to face it, except for Gold, and this is his first time facing it.
That's interesting. Which also brings another question for me. So obviously he killed Dr. Facilier with the dagger, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Apparently. So is that Gold's dagger, or was that like a dagger from the Wish Realm?
Because clearly he has his own dagger.
No, he didn't. Remember, he went to the safe and it wasn't there, and that's why he hunted.
He didn't keep the dagger in the safe. He was looking for the book.
Of him and Belle.
Oh, I thought he was looking for his dagger.
I thought so too.
I thought he found
the
book by mistake.
They tricked us, though, you writers.
The chat's confused.
Yeah, keep you on your toes.
Okay, cool.
I've lost this timeline a long time ago. I just sit back and I go, yep, I like it.
Well, we have a lot to wrap up in 2 episodes, and I'm really excited to see how that's going to go, because it's going to be crazy.
Yes. Crazy.
So many familiar faces.
What storyline are you hoping to see?
You mean for the finale? Like, which one? From
whichever
the past?
One you like. Yeah. What?
I mean, to be honest, Snow White.
Yeah.
Snow White. I am looking. I'm hoping. I'm not making any guarantees, but yeah, I'm hoping to see that. You know, see what they do with that, or how they incorporate that into that. You know, and just I think that's the one that I mainly want to see. But I would love to be able to see how they incorporate all the old storylines from, like, all the seasons, if possible, if they're able to bring back some of the iconic characters, like, you know, Ariel, things like that would be awesome.
Which
see how they wrap it up.
We saw an episode. Didn't we see an there article that promo. She's going to come back,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah.
They have a lot of people coming back. We just don't know how.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to know how they go about mm-hmm. doing right. it. Right. Exactly. About, like, wrapping it all up.
Because tying those interwebs together is going to be crazy.
Yes.
Which makes sense why the curse ended this. Because at first I was like, wait, what's going to happen now? But there's so much to wrap up.
They still have to get out
of...
That's
why they have to do it in two episodes. It makes sense. You know, right. That's a lot of content.
Yeah, and that's why I need an ice pack, because my head's going to hurt. I have a feeling.
I am just waiting for that moment where my jaw's going to drop, and I'm going to be so freaking excited as to how they do this. Because I find that so... the way that their minds work as writers is just phenomenal, and it's been phenomenal for 7 seasons now. Yeah. And it's just going to be, like, really crazy to see how this one ends, because there's been so many loose ends that have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, Jeff, we want to ask you a couple more questions about
you
and just kind of how your experience was on set. Obviously, you said it was a fun time, but, you know, walking in after 6 seasons already being on a series, was that kind of difficult for you? Or
that's the funny part. It wasn't at all. Everybody were so warm and welcoming. I mean, from cast and crew, I felt almost as if, like, I was a regular. Like, oh, yeah, we're on season 7 now, guys. Like, I felt like I was part of the family. It was crazy because they were all awesome, man. I mean, Makia, she was incredible. Me and her definitely connected and clicked, like, right off the bat. You know, she's such a good person. She's so sweet. And I really had fun with everybody on there, you know?
I thought that was great chemistry when I saw you guys on screen. I was just like, yes. I was here for it.
I think it was because it was very genuine, because, like, off camera, I mean, you know, in between takes, it's not like we're like, all right, cool, you know, I'm on this side, she's over there. We were just, like, you know, kicking it, having conversation, like, kind of talking about each other's, like, personal lives, and just, like, talking about politics, movies, things like that. Just normal conversation, having fun, you know?
Right.
And then it was like, hey, guys, we're ready for you on set. I'm like, all right, cool. And we jump right back into it. And I feel like that energy and that chemistry just carried over onto screen, you know?
Yeah,
which
definitely
is,
did.
I think is always a good thing on any project you're working on.
Because it's a different type of relationship than we've seen. I feel like there was more of, like, a competitive friendship, which
That's so true. Well, even when we first got introduced, you guys, you were on that boat with the crocodiles and stuff. Can you give us a little behind the scenes of what that was like?
I'm so glad you brought that up. That's actually one of my favorite scenes, especially for Prince Naveen. But it was so fun because, I mean, we're on the green screen. We're actually, you know, in a little tank, and we got the water there, and we're just, like, the environment's there, and I'm like, this is awesome. But the actual scene for me was great because this is the first time you actually get to see a little bit of Prince Naveen's, like, his humanity, you know? It's like a genuine moment. Like, oh, wait a minute. This guy is actually fighting for something, you know? He's not just a cocky, you know, arrogant asshole. But it was a great moment for me to actually, like, make that switch and just share a genuine moment with Tiana on the boat. And a little bit of the stunts was fun, too, you know?
Yeah, did you have a stunt double at all, or
did
you
have a stunt double?
Okay,
he was there, and we utilized him, but I did some of the stunts as well too. They just wanted to, you know, for safety reasons, he had to be there, and they also wanted to utilize him for certain shots. But I got in the water too. I got in there. I was like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm trying to get wet. Bring on the alligator.
To incorporate the alligator, obviously, like, was that all CGI, or did you get to, like, have some sort of thing in the water to give you the
there was like a little machine in the water, like a little crane, which we would use as a visual, but most of it was, like, CGI,
right?
Yes,
I bet you were like, bring on the real thing.
That's what I was saying,
bring on the crocodile.
Actually, real quick, I know we're limited on time, but moment between me and Dr. Facilier is Daniel Francis playing Dr. Facilier. He asked me, he's like, oh, how did that go? How did that shoot go? And then he's like, oh, what did they do for the alligator? I was like, yeah, we had, like, an alligator in the water. You remember that? And he's like, wait, what do you mean? Yeah, I was like, yeah, we had an alligator. He's like, bro, he's like, bro, you had a real alligator? I was like, oh, no, I don't mean a real alligator. I mean, it was a funny moment because we just had a miscommunication, but he actually believed me that it was a real alligator.
Oh, my God.
Funniest moment, man.
It was too funny. I could imagine me in that moment. He's probably like, what?
Like, he's like, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Well then. Respect me. Yeah.
I'm method, baby.
He was like taking a step back from you, like, wow, he's really serious about this role.
Like, not that I wasn't Prince Naveen.
But speaking about why you're the perfect Prince Naveen, is that vous parlez un peu de français?
Oh, pas parler français, on parle créole.
Ça va.
Ça va bien.
That's even more to the
movie. Stop now.
And for those of you at home, he speaks Creole. Yes. So you really were born to play Prince Naveen.
I think so. It was fate.
The people in the chat are saying if there's a live action, like, we need you.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
They are remaking all the animated films. That would be amazing.
There we go. Jeff Pierre for Prince Naveen.
Put it out there.
Start tweeting now, guys.
With Nakia, I would totally love to see Nakia.
Oh, most definitely.
That would be amazing.
I wouldn't even want to do it if it wasn't. Better be Nakia.
Seriously, you guys, you need to start tweeting this out to Disney because we can make this happen. By hashtag.
I love you guys.
I have to quickly ask you, who do you like playing better? Jeff McArdle. Hey. See, look, you got your name in there. Or Prince Naveen.
That's beyond.
Yeah, beyond is for Jeff McArdle, for those of you guys who don't know.
You're breaking his heart.
That is tough. Are you going to put me on the spot like that?
We have some people in the chat asking that.
We got
that.
Our team divided. Beyond or Onceers.
Oh, man, that is so tough. Can I say I like playing both?
Yeah. You I really do like playing both.
I honestly do. I enjoy playing both.
That is the safe
There's
bet.
Similarities between the two characters for me, and then there's differences that I enjoy as well, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jeff is determined and finding things out and getting what he wants. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is amazing.
But they're both actually, you know, they're there for the people that they love. You know,
of
they're
course.
Very determined. And they want to protect and fight for the people they love. And they both lost their brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what sparked their journeys. Wow.
There's people that are your Beyond fans. They're definitely ready for
That's what I'm talking about. loyal fans.
And if you guys haven't seen Beyond, you can watch it on Hulu or Freeform.
Yes,
it is
yes.
such an amazing show. It's sci-fi, and there's a lot of live-action stuff going on in there with a lot of crazy
scenes. Yeah, there's guns blazing. There's, there's superpowers. There's, I had this incredible, fight scene with this, guy that was 7 foot this last season. So I got to do a lot.
That's so
Plus, funny. I got a cool scar.
Wait,
too,
how was the fight scene with the 7 foot guy? Was he on stilts fighting you or CGI again?
This guy was actually, there was no CGI. This was real.
Dude was 7 feet tall?
He pretty close.
What,
I'm not going to lie.
Did they borrow him out of the land of the giants
because
on once?
When they wrote it, they wanted somebody who was like a giant.
Wow.
And this guy was actually part of the crew, funny enough. I think he worked carpentry on the crew.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not even kidding. If you guys watch it, you'll see. He's huge. It's huge. So it was paying homage to Raiders of the Last Ark, Indiana Jones, where they had that fight scene on the tarmac, I believe. And Indiana Jones is fighting this guy who's just a behemoth. And they kind of incorporated that in the episode. And I have these funny little moments where this guy punches me and I'm just like, I fall to the ground. But it was a fun scene to shoot. And we choreographed it. And it was all me.
Yeah.
Because I love stunt choreography. I love stunt and stage combat. I had a good time doing that.
That's so great to know that.
Scar to
that's all you.
Yeah.
Well, you were telling us a little bit before we popped in here that you actually study a form of martial arts.
I do. That's why I love it. I started off doing boxing, and then over a year ago, I started doing Muay Thai because I wanted to incorporate hands, feet, elbows, and everything. And I love it. It's the best conditioning for your body to me. It's just fun. And it's sometimes it's a stress reliever, you know.
You're a jack of all trades. You do it all.
I do.
I mean, you're a dad. You're an actor. You're all these things. Which
do
is
you
so
secretly
amazing.
Have a published book of poems we should know about?
Well,
I would have died right now
if you pulled it out and we're like, actually, yes.
Well, guys, I'm so sad to say we are running out of time, but really quick before we wrap it all up, what else can we find you on that's coming up? You have any other fun projects you kind of want to talk about?
Actually, yeah, definitely. Really quick, there's two sitcom pilots that I just shot, one for Fox and one for NBC. One for NBC is called So Close,
okay,
and the one on Fox is actually untitled right now, but it's from Aaron Foster.
Oh,
Okay. Oh, nice. And it's oh man, it's brilliant. Both of them are hilarious. Heck in their own yeah. ways. Well, so definitely look out for those two shows.
Oh my
definitely.
God. Oh, they're 100%.
Comedies? Yeah, they're comedies. Mm-hmm. They're both one's cool. a multi-cam and then the other one's a single camera comedy.
Well, so, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. This will be great.
See more Jeff.
More yes. Jeff on our TV screens. Don't worry, Onesters and Beyond fans. We're gonna see him still. But really quick, let's do some flash lightning round predictions.
Awesome.
I'll just skip one.
All right, Steph.
Okay, Regina and Robin are going to get together. That's it. That's all I have because I have no idea what's happening.
Wait, what did you say?
Robin Hood's coming Robin back from the dead to swoop his woman. 100%.
Not the little Robin
Hood. No. It was like, what's going on? Robin's I thought that she has. Okay. No, okay.
That's a lot.
Lanisha, what are you thinking?
Well, I didn't have any until Steph said hers. So I'm going to roll with Steph here. We're going to do the power team.
Always.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carolina.
I think that we're going to get an ambiguous ending because we have two Rumpelstiltskins in the loop right now. We've got Gold's version and then the Wishrum Rumpelstiltskin. So I don't think that things are going to end on a clear cut and sunny day. Mm. I think we're actually going to be left asking a lot of questions at the season finale.
I am thinking, I feel bad. I keep, like, negating what you're saying. What are you going to say, Jeff?
No, funny enough, like, I don't know. I think it would be interesting if it was almost, if it almost went that route, like a cliffhanger.
Right.
Almost. I know it would be disheartening for the fans, but it would be interesting to see, you know?
I would die. Because
at the same time, I would love to see a happy ending, because that's usually how mm-hmm. fairy tales end. But we don't want to be cliche.
That's what I've been fighting for.
Yeah.
That's what I've been fighting for.
Think outside the box. They've been doing a pretty good job of doing that so far.
Happy ending. Yeah. But then they brought in both the Rumpels. And I was like, I'm probably going to be wrong. So I'm going to go with an ambiguous ending. These are the writers of Lost. And I still remember how they left me at Lost.
Ooh.
So I'm like, oh.
let's not talk about that.
Hurts the heart. Right there. Hurts the heart. Well, I'm just going to say, now that we got another Rumpel in the mix, I think that we're finally going to see the Dark One be able to release the dagger. And I think that's going to have to do with the second Rumpel coming into the picture, because he'll finally be able to close it off once and for all, because that's what he's been searching for since he got it in the first place. So I'm thinking that, really quick, did you have some pictures that you wanted to share, Carolina?
I did, yes, from next week's two-part season finale.
Ooh.
So these pictures are thanks to Entertainment Weekly, and they actually have about 5 or 6 more on their website, so be sure to check it out. Just Google Once Upon a Time Entertainment Weekly. But we've got a photo up here for those of you watching on the podcast. You can check it out if you pop into YouTube. It's the round table with all the main power players. We see Alice and Robin and Snow and Charming, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah, we see Regina. We've got Rebecca Matter's character. We've got Hook. I mean, so much excitement. The only person that we're really, even Henry, the only person that we're missing at this round table is Emma.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
She's off fighting, like, the bad guys, the villains.
Well, it's been confirmed that Jennifer Morrison is making an appearance, so yeah. I'm excited about that. And then we have, Queen Snow White and King Charming together in their court ensemble. And it is honestly good. My favorite is seeing them in their full regalia in court. So
I know, I like the fairy tale outfits.
Yes. Oh, especially the evil queens.
Yes. Man, they're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the wardrobe, man. Mm-hmm. They're incredible. Yes. Yeah.
Did you get to keep anything from set, by the way, from being Prince Naveen?
No.
Are they going to hunt you down if you disclose it? He's like, no, closet full.
Man, well, Jeff, seriously, thank you so much. This has been amazing. Yeah. You are lovely. You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, you guys are great.
And hopefully we'll get to see you on some new shows coming up.
Yeah. Hopefully, put that out there in the universe.
We will.
You ladies have been amazing, and I'm looking forward to coming back, too.
Well, thanks. More
things. I hope
you're
so.
Welcome back anytime. Yes. Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, JL Pierre, and you could also find me on Twitter, Jeff L. Pierre.
And Steph Sabra, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, at Steph Sabra.
Lanisha.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lanisha, spelled L-A-N-I-S-H-A 914. Hey.
Carolina Vanetti.
Hey, guys. Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Carolina Vanetti and on Instagram at LenaBean113.
Hey, guys. Ali Nasta here. Find me on Twitter at Ali Nasta and on Instagram at LA Girl. And, of course, follow AfterBuzz TV on all social media platforms. We will see you next week. 2 episodes left, guys.
Woo!
Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.